regressive hypnosis and the other side. My first marriage, for all its flaws, blessed me with my son Paul and my move from the Midwest to Northern California. There I started doing professional readings, trancing Francine for lectures to countless rapt audiences, and working towards my master's degree at San Francisco University. At SFU, I met Bob Williams, my creative writing instructor, whose influence on my life has been too profound to measure. We used to talk long into the night about the tarot imagery in James Joyce's Ulysses, metaphysics in general, and inevitably the paranormal. One day he surprised me and my classmates by announcing that Mrs. Dufresne, my married name, will now demonstrate her psychic ability by giving readings to any of you who care to volunteer. There were 50 in the class and 50 volunteered. Thanks to word of mouth, I was never at a loss for clients again. On another day, he guided me into a tiny bookstore, pointed out books by psychic healer Edgar Cayce, Madame Helena Blavatsky, philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre and Bertrand Russell, and countless other authors, like you, and told me that my next assignment was to read them all. I already had. He smiled and said, "Then read them again, but this time do something about it. Study, teach, explore new boundaries, exceed your grasp and theirs. Start a research center to attract more people and spread the word. Your work can be even more important than any of these authors, if you'll let it." Bob and I loved each other, and I pointed out the obvious lack of objectivity that would lead him to compare me to the great Edgar Cayce and the others. His response was simple. "I believe in you. Just do it. I'll help you." He never got the chance. Despite my premonition that he wouldn't make it back alive, he took off for a trip to Australia. He came home in a pine box. There hasn't been a day in the 25 years since that I haven't missed him, loved him, and thanked him. In 1974, I started the Nirvana Foundation for Psychic Research in Bob's memory. The foundation had two primary purposes: to teach psychic development and to explore and prove the survival of the spirit after death. I registered the Nirvana Foundation with the state of California as a nonprofit organization. Then I placed an ad in the local newspaper offering psychic classes. 22 people responded by wedging themselves into my tiny living room on that first Tuesday night. Those 22 told 22, who told 22 more, and finally I had no choice but to scrape together enough money to rent office space in a storefront to accommodate the growing crowds. My parents and sister had moved to California by then, so I promptly hired Daddy and Sharon as part of a staff of 7, and together we improvised to make the Nirvana Foundation for Psychic Research a worthwhile humanitarian effort. I did readings every day and taught classes every night, between Francine's lectures, and still tried my best to be an attentive mother to my 2 young sons. Last but by no means least, I continued my hypnosis studies, became certified, and logged enough hours to earn the status of master hypnotist. I am now licensed to train and certify other hypnotists, and several of my staff members were eager and talented students. I began exploring my curiosity about regressive hypnosis with the goal of taking clients back to their birth into this life. To be honest, the idea of lives before this one wasn't an issue for me. I didn't believe or disbelieve in reincarnation. I just had too many other priorities to give it much thought. So it is an understatement to say I was caught off guard by what happened during a hypnosis session one bleak afternoon shortly after the Nirvana Foundation became a reality. I was doing weight loss hypnotherapy on a new client when he suddenly seemed to lose his mind. First, he talked in the present tense about his life in Egypt as a builder of pyramids. He included some fascinating details about anti-gravitational devices that were so fantastic I couldn't follow them. Next, he launched into a lengthy monologue in what sounded like an endless series of nonsense syllables. I thought he was having a psychotic episode, and knew it could be dangerous to him for me to interrupt him. So I listened and tried to appear calm while silently begging him not to become violent. But then, just as suddenly as he flipped out, he snapped right back to his normal, soft-spoken, pleasant self again, as if the previous half hour had never happened. With his permission, I sent a tape of that session to a professor friend of mine at Stanford and asked for his objective evaluation. 3 days after I delivered the tape to Stanford, my phone rang and a voice on the other end said, "Where did you get this tape?" I had never heard my professor friend sound so excited. I responded with a noncommittal, "Why do you ask?" It seemed that in those 3 days he had studied and researched that tape and shared it with his colleagues, who researched it as well. They came to a conclusion that astounded us all. My client's supposed nonsense syllables were really in an obscure 7th century BC Assyrian dialect in which any number of pyramid builders would have been fluent. That experience compelled me to expand my this lifetime only regressive hypnosis to any past lives that happened to come up, while never breaking my cardinal rule against leading my clients in any way. I was prepared for past life regression to be a rare phenomena. It wasn't. Not even close. Client after client, eventually numbering into the thousands, after being led gently back through their birth into this life, would begin telling me in great detail about their life or lives before this one. And time after time without fail, the Nirvana Foundation staff would research those details, usually through the invaluable, extensive San Bruno archives, and discover that yes, for example, there really was a woman named Selina Franklin who lived in Peoria, Illinois in 1843. With 2 children named Margaret and Marion and a husband named Willie, who was a wheat farmer. We made note of every past life regression we were able to confirm, and those thousands of confirmations are still on file in my office.